Good evening, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Evan Nolan, and today I will be sitting with my buddy Abe Monier, who actually isn't here at the moment, but I'm just going to speak for him. I was going to give you a fake voice, but decided to not do that. Regardless, welcome to our first edition of Porch Bums, which is a weekly forum for topics that we feel need to be discussed and that we are passionate about. Typically, we like to do this in our porch as bums, because that's just the life we live as college students. But on today's episode, we will be talking about pharmaceutical medications and the inequality found within the healthcare system. This is spurred about because my buddy Abe recently, within the past few months, has started a position as a pharmacy technician after choosing to go into the career of pharmacy. We also have another friend who will be first year pharmacy student come fall semester. And, you know, we've just had a lot of good discussions in the past about what's wrong with prescription medications, the pharmaceutical companies, etc., etc. So today we will be diving into that topic, discussing a little bit about what we see are some major issues. And yeah, if you have any questions, please feel free to either lay those out at the end of this podcast in the comments section, or shoot us an email, give us a text, Snapchat us. Just kidding, don't do that. But you get the message. Feel free to reach out. We love being asked questions, and hopefully we do not, frankly, piss off people by our fairly liberal and radical ideas. So thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it, and we hope you enjoy. All right, everybody, thanks for continuing to listen on here. We appreciate the audience that we're connecting with, and yeah, I think it's important that we spread love, so just know that Abe and I both love you all very dearly. Whenever we do these podcasts, even though we may be porch bums, we like to take a very serious approach, an educational approach, if you will, and use multiple different primary sources. So today, we will be using our main primary source as an interview with Abe, since he is very knowledgeable about the healthcare system and pharmaceutical medications due to his future career as a pharmacist and his current career as a pharmacy technician. But with that being said, we do need a secondary or second primary source. And for that, we've chosen to collect data, you know, conduct a quick online and in-person survey with friends and maybe even friends of friends of people we found on campus at UWL or just via our social media posts. So bear with me here as I kind of look through the data. We asked people, I guess it's not really we, I asked people, Abe's just, it's a we when we do stuff, it's a we. But I asked people three questions, and they're pretty simple, they're yes or no's. The first question being, have you in the past year used marijuana to replace a different prescription medication? Sorry for that pause and reflection. I was trying to find my place there. So, okay. Have you in the past 12 months used marijuana in replace of a prescription medication? Out of the 386 people who answered this question, 359 people. Yes, 359 people replied, yes, they have used marijuana in replace of a prescription medication within the past year. To follow that up, I asked them a question, Have you ever felt that the healthcare system has screwed you over? Again, it's a pretty, I think, fair question, because I do target a very wide audience. Not everybody has a lot of money to spare, but again, 386 people replied to this, the same people, and all of them but three. 383 people said yes, they have felt that the healthcare system has screwed them over. That is astonishing to me. That is absolutely astonishing. Let me answer that over again here for you. Have you ever felt screwed over by the healthcare system? Out of the 386 people I know, 383 have said yes, they have felt that the healthcare system has screwed them over. Now, I didn't record this in my studies. I just remember from multiple in-person conversations I have, and simply because it's hard to ask over social media. It's a very personal question. But of the few friends that I talked with this about, I followed up the question, how? You know, why? What happened? One being, you know, her father was in the hospital battling lung cancer. Ended up losing that battle. So that was tough for her, obviously. But they had to spend over $200,000 just to keep her father alive for an extra couple weeks. I mean, I'm almost on the verge of holding back tears. I mean, could you imagine being put in that scenario? Having to spend over $200,000 to keep your father alive for an extra couple weeks. It's not like he's in good health. You know, I mean, he's suffering. Oh, man, that just irks me. Another one would be, I'm currently prescribed. I have ADD. I'm currently prescribed Adderall XR. I take it every day. A whole different debate could be about, is that fair? Is that equal in college? Blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm very passionate about that. If somebody wants to have that discussion, we can dive into it together personally. But until that date, we'll just leave it as that. But because my father is a state government worker, I only pay $43 per prescription refill for my Adderall. Fast forward to a conversation I was having with my friend. He pays $286 for that same Adderall. So quite a difference there, just because of the different positions our parents hold and our insurance coverage. And then lastly, another prime example could be, say you get sick. I had mono in the winter. There's not really a prescription for it per se. But I guess that is not the best example. Say you get, what's a pretty common, I mean, you could even flu shot. Well, yeah, we'll go with flu shot. Say you want to get a flu shot. Mine was free. Again, because my father's health insurance is amazing through the state government. They watch out for their own. Mine was free. I had a buddy who had to pay $58 just to get a freaking flu shot. So again, that saves me $58. What did I do to deserve that? Oh, you can tell I'm getting very passionate about this, but it's those things that just irk me about the healthcare system. I guess that's everything that's need to be said about that. But then the last question that I asked people via a poll on Instagram, in person, whatnot, again, a simple yes or no. Do you trust the healthcare system? Do you believe, I guess, it was a two-part question. Do you trust and do you believe that pharmaceutical medications actually help people? Yes or no? I was expecting more like a 50-50 answer. You know, yeah, I do think a lot of pharmaceuticals help people. But I think there's a lot out there that are just money makers for Big Farm and doctors who prescribe them. Surprisingly, which doesn't make sense to me because it kind of contradicts what people were talking about, 73% of everybody, I can't do math right now, so it's 73% of 386 people said yes, they do trust pharmaceutical medications. So I found that to be a very interesting topic. Again, that those three questions kind of help add to this debate and are used as a primary source when talking about Big Pharma and the inequality and flaws found within the healthcare system. So from here on, with that being answered and cleared up, let's get into our main primary source, which is an interview with Abe, who is a current farm tech. Dope. Okay, don't even act like it's there, though. We're just going to talk like it's normal.
Drugs.
Freaking drugs, man.
Freaking drugs. I mean, like...
Okay, what do you think about weed? So, like, what would be, like, a different medication compared to weed, in your opinion?
I mean, weed's kind of like a painkiller, almost, where, like, it just suppresses your kind of, like, mind, but, like, keeps it at ease. So, like, honestly, like, a hydrocodone or, like, a tramadol. Tramadol is, like, a less, like, addictive substance, like a hydrocodone. So, like, you need a doctor's prescription for it, mm-hmm. but, like, you don't, like, hydrocodone's like a C2, so it's, like, it's highly controlled. Like, you can only get a certain amount at a certain time. Like, your doctor has a fax over a prescription. You have to sign a piece of paper. You have to show your ID when you get the drug. But, like, tramadol, all you need is a fax prescription and your ID, and, like, you're good to go. You can take that whenever. You can fill it whenever you need.
Okay.
And so, like, honestly, like, I've seen copays for tramadol be $0 to, like, $10. Like, it's just super cheap. It's like a painkiller.
So
just
what's...
less addictive.
But what's the difference? Why such the differing degrees? Like, why is it that widespread, you know?
It, like, depends on, like, just the prescriber, what, like, how, like, strong of a dose he gives and like how like much he gives. Like, I mean, like, some insurances don't cover that at all, and like they'll have to like just stick with like the Tylenol or like the ibuprofen of like the painkillers. I mean, like, ibuprofen's over the counter, but like we still, like, it's kind of sad, but we kind of still sell ibuprofen as a prescription, just like higher doses. Like, we'll sell like 600 milligram ibuprofens. Like, whoop to do, take 3 ibuprofens and you're the same as a prescription medication. Like, it's like not that big of a deal. But like, that still is like a $20 copay or something like that when you can go buy a bottle for like that amount.
So how come nobody recommends them to just go do that? You know? Why?
It's all a game. It's all a game. Pharmacies making a hell of a amount of money. I bet you were only putting like $5 towards like a bottle of pills while we're selling them for hundreds of dollars. I mean, that inhaler, that albuterol inhaler, which is literally just a normal inhaler, goes for, personally for myself, $5 if I'm under my parents' insurance, but under the people's insurance that I sold them to today, went for like $130, $140. So, like, that's like a decent amount of chunk of change for just a simple inhaler that, like, you take 2 puffs a day and you call it a day. Like,
yeah.
I mean,
you don't necessarily need it.
No, but. I've taken like 6 to 7 puffs a day for fun. And, like, you don't feel much of a difference whatsoever. So, like, okay. Why is the doctor prescribing that if he knows the insurance doesn't cover it, you know? It's interesting. It's all a money market. How much money you're going to get from each patient.
But then, like, people who can't actually afford the medications that they need get screwed.
Oh, yeah.
But the rich get richer. They don't suffer any consequences.
Yeah. I've had to cash out so many prescriptions, like, fuck, honestly, like, there have been multiple prescriptions where, like, the insurance doesn't cover it at all. And so, like, we literally just have to, like, cash out. That's what we call it. And so, like, the patient has to pay full price for the prescription they're paying for. And that can be, like, upwards of, like, $400 if it's, like, a pretty hefty insurance, like, a pretty hefty prescription.
Okay.
And it's, like, but then, like, another person will come by getting the exact same prescription and their insurance will cover it and they'll only pay, like, $5, $10.
Why? How? Is that fair? Is that fair?
I mean, in a sense, no, because everyone needs that prescription. They're not just taking their... If you're getting a prescription medication, you're not taking it for fun. You're taking it because you need it.
I hope so. If you're taking a prescription medication, I sure hope so.
Like, some prescription medications that, like, you need, like, I mean, like, I think it's called, like, Sonad or Sonad or something like that. It's, like, the prescription that you take for methamphetamine, like, mm-hmm. like the substitute for it instead of taking meth. It's, like, sure, you don't need that prescription, but, like, I'd much rather have you on that than meth.
Right. But why, like, okay, so is there any chemical difference between taking meth versus that quote-unquote legal drug?
I mean, I don't actually know the chemical composition, but I would say there's, like, some differences to make it less addicting, but it's still addicting. But
the same negative side effects, I guess, would be the better
question. I mean, you would probably go from withdrawal from not taking the prescription medication.
So it still is an addiction.
Yeah.
So these troubled people go from addiction to a legal addiction.
Yeah.
But then they have to pay more money than they would on this other addiction for this legal addiction to have the same negative side effects.
Oh yeah, I mean, since of was it Nixon that made his war on drugs? That, like, prescription medication and, like, drugs in general, prices have gone up so much. So, I mean, like, if you can't get something with ease, then it's just, like, the price goes up. Like, medication you can't get without, like, a doctor's note. So, like, to be able to get the doctor to pay for you to basically get the prescription is, like, more money than it is to, like, go onto the streets and actually go get, like, some kind of drug yourself.
See, that's crazy. That's crazy to me, honestly.
Yep. I mean, there's plenty of people. I've seen plenty of prescriptions being filled for, like, painkillers and, like, drugs in general, like, hydrocodone, acetaminophen involved in it, tramadol, just painkillers in general.
Is that the biggest issue, painkillers, or is it?
It's the most prescribed medication in the United States.
It is?
Is a painkiller, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, hydrocodone. The tablets.
Yeah.
It's so simple. It literally just is a white tablet with a front and a back, has nothing on it.
Nothing.
Nothing.
And how much would something for that be?
It's actually fairly cheap. It's like a $5 to $10 copay.
Okay. But what, okay, so it's cheap. So what does it do for you?
It gives you the ease of mind. I bet you if I
So is it for, like, the mental illness, anxiety, depression?
No, it's literally just like like, if you're in pain, take this and you won't feel pain anymore. But I guarantee you, if you give those, like, I believe in the whole, like, placebo effect. So, like, if you give, like, someone that's really in pain with a broken arm, like a sugar pill or, like, some kind of pill.
And just tell them it's, like, going to help the pain.
Tell them it's like it's a hydrocodone, they'll feel fine.
Right, right.
But, okay. Like...
Is there any actual difference? Does it actually give those people...
I mean, some people, yeah, like, the painkillers really help. I mean, some people are really in pain and, like, they need it. Like, yeah, I understand why they need it, but some other people, like, no, they don't need it. Like... Personally, ibuprofen would do just fine. Ibuprofen's a painkiller. It's just an over-the-counter.
That's a lot cheaper.
It's a lot cheaper. You're paying...
Don't have to go through an insurance company.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, you're paying a full price for the bottle, which is $6 or $7, rather than this hydrocodone, that's about $150, maybe $200 a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
But your insurance covers a shit ton of it that you don't even realize. If you have insurance... I've seen prescriptions go for $300, $400, honestly.
So basically, I see the problem right now as being people don't inform the people that are overpaying for these prescriptions that they can buy ibuprofen as a substitute for hydrocortisone.
Yeah.
That's the biggest issue right here.
Doctors are over-prescribing drugs, for sure. Most people don't need half the drugs they're actually taking.
Or they could find, at least at the minimum, a cheaper drug
that
they could substitute. Interesting.
Easy. But like,
would you say that's, you know, that's interesting?
That's a fair statement. Like, I mean, like, half of these drugs could be like generic versions of the drug and pay half the price of them, but like the doctor still wants like a whole non-generic version of it, and you have to pay the extra amount.
But then why does that doctor want that over the cheaper option? And the easiest option, you don't have to go through the whole insurance company policy, blah, blah, blah. You can literally go to a store, buy a bottle of ibuprofen, and be done with it in 5 minutes.
There's something about getting a bottle that has a prescription. Like, that orange bottle with a prescription on it means a lot more than a bottle that comes from a store that you go buy. It's, like, weird.
I get the psychological aspect to it, but is there actually any difference?
Probably not, no. I mean, like, there's a little bit of a difference, obviously, with the actual chemical composition. I mean, like...
It's a little better.
It's stronger. It's hellish. Better. It's, like, hellish stronger, but, like, mind over matter. Like, I mean, like...
But if you just took one more Advil, ibuprofen pill, that could help a little bit, too, right?
Yeah.
Like, it would be pretty damn near the same thing.
I mean, you could say, in a sense, yeah. No one wants to think like that.
That's crazy.
We like our painkillers.
That's insane to me.
Or the fact about, like...
Would you say that if you... Would this be an accurate statement? Just thinking kind of, you know, outwardly here. Would it be accurate to say if you told, we'll say 10,000 people, 10,000 Walgreens customers, just within a daily conversation at Walgreens, that they could save their money if they went and bought Advil, ibuprofen, for this amount of money compared to this, and without going through the insurance company, would that save them money? Would that actually, like, help them?
Some people, yeah. Some people with, like, the shittier insurances, yeah. They go buy a whole bottle for, like, $12. I mean, I've seen hella good insurances where, like, I've seen, like, prescriptions my mom has gotten or my dad has gotten, and, like, we're paying, like, $10 copays, but they're paying nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some insurance plans are just elite as fuck. They pay a shit ton, like...
And that's because of their wealth.
Yeah.
As a family.
That's because just, like, the insurance they pay for each month is well over the amount that they're actually paying for the drugs. I mean, who knows if insurance is actually worth it for, like, medicine. Like, I mean, like... Personally, right now, I pay barely anything for medicine, and my dad's paying 22 for health insurance. I think it's like 1,700 for like pharmacy or something like that. So like,
and that's with how many people in your family?
Six, but like only two of them actually gets medications.
You and?
No, it's literally just my dad and my mom.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, like, okay. I get my occasional, like.
But you pay for that, is what you're saying.
I mean, like, I'm paying still $50 for my.
Adderall.
So like,
and that's every 2 months you pick up a new prescription,
yeah.
Or every month?
Every 2 months. If I'm feeling it, I'll pick up every month.
Okay. So you're paying about $300 a year for Adderall.
Yeah.
A prescription that you would say helps you.
Yeah, it's kind of needed. Not like,
it's not needed, it's per se,
needed,
but like,
like,
it definitely
wanted.
It definitely helps you.
Helps.
Make steps to reach your goals.
Mm-hmm.
To do what you gotta do.
I mean, yeah.
To get the job done, you know?
Like, you wanna know how many times I've heard the statement, like, people that are out of their prescriptions, they're like, I need this daily. Like, I take this daily that I actually need.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a heart medication or, like, a some kind of, like, anxiety medication or just, like, in general, just, like, anything, like a muscle relaxer or, like, even, like, just, like, anything, really.
Right.
And people are like, I need this today. And we're just like, I'm sorry, like, we can't fill this for you today because, like, first of all, like, the fill date's wrong. Like, I mean, like, we have to wait a couple more days before we can fill it.
Sure.
Or that, like,
sure.
Or their doctor hasn't, like, renewed their prescription yet.
Yeah, right. Because they can't pay for it, probably.
They can't put, like, I mean, like, if they wanted to pay for it without insurance, they'd be paying hundreds of dollars for it.
But they can't afford it through insurance.
Some people can't.
Without insurance. They can't afford it.
No.
No questions asked. But then why can't those same people tell those people who can't afford that, hey, like, I know you're struggling right now. Why can't you just go buy, like, this is between us. Go buy ibuprofen. You know, go buy this medication and mix it with this, and you'll get the same needed effects that you're searching for right now. Because we shouldn't be, I don't know if you agree with this. Tell me if you agree with this. We shouldn't be able to control how people should feel. Like, there's a certain point where, like, yes, if you're, like, putting people in danger, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're just out there as, like, a sexual predator, yes, that's a problem. But if you're just, like, want to be a loner, like, if you want to just, like, do your own thing and vibe, like,
mm-hmm.
nobody should be able to tell you what you put in your body.
Yeah.
But we still do.
But we still do. Like, if I go see a kid.
We absolutely control what we put in mm-hmm. our bodies. But the government tells us what's legal and what's not. And this is how much you have to pay for that. To feel how you want to feel. If smoking weed every day helps you feel better, by all means, go for it. Do what you got to do to, like, make earth bearable. Yeah. You know, like, a lot of people suffer from diseases that people just don't understand.
I mean, like, honestly, if they made weed legal, bet you half the painkillers that we had in our pharmacy would not be there.
Yeah. Yeah. I would really agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people could benefit from smoking weed. Not abusing it. There definitely is mm-hmm. a side of abusing it.
But I mean, like, if it's a prescription weed, like, I think they should medically legalize it everywhere. Like,
okay, I agree with that, but would you also agree that you need to find your own kind of strand? Because there are a lot of strands out there that everybody deserves to find. This is the strand that works best for me, or, like,
fair,
I like this combination.
Fair. But, I mean, like, there has to be, like, a universal, like, I mean, we haven't known enough, but, like, there has to be some kind of universal, like, strand that's, like, good for pain relief, you know, like.
Right.
Like, there has to be, like, some strand that's, like, it might not be the best for you, but, I mean, it's, like, any other prescription. Like, we have, like, so say that we might be selling, like a gabapentin, which is a nerve relaxer.
Mm-hmm.
We have 3 different brands of that. Sure, they're all basically the same exact chemical composition, but they're different brands, different drug companies are making it.
Mm-hmm. And they're all different prices.
They're all different. Like, I mean, like, some of them are different prices, some are not. Like, the generic is way cheaper than the actual. But, like, if we're looking at just the actual prices, like, legit brand name drugs, they all might be the exact same price.
Mm-hmm.
But someone might tell me that silly ass, I don't know what the hell, like, one brand is way better than the other, but they're the exact same, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, like, if you're going to give someone, like, a weed brand that, like, say, like, a weed strain that is, like, completely just pain relief and yada yada, like, I don't think they'd be able to tell the difference, like.
At all.
No.
At all. I mean, I think the worst thing that can happen to a smoker is they become kind of lazy. That's definitely a thing, a side effect that I've noticed just personally.
I think it's from smoking too much, you become lazier. But, like, if you I know they have this in Colorado, but, like, they have gummies that are, like, high enough dosages that one gummy is going to get you, like, pretty, like, fucked. But, like, they can make dosages of gummies that are, like, going to relieve your pain without you even feeling any difference in your body. It's
okay.
Like an ibuprofen.
It's like finding the correct dosage for yourself.
Yeah.
Everybody has. I feel like it's very comparable to drinking. So you go out with friends. Everybody has that person in the friend group that can't drink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, 3-4 beers already fucked up. Like, it's the same with smoking. Like, somebody takes one hit, and somebody can take, like, 2 joints to the face and just be totally cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it really depends on the person.
It does.
So basically, what we both agreed upon is legalize marijuana. And that
Absolutely.
Would solve a majority of the problems in.
I think we should have a legalized healthcare system where, like, prescription drugs that are needed to survive should not be overpriced for other people rather than, like, underpriced for some. I mean, everyone deserves the chance to go out and buy their heart medication for $5 if it's prescription rather than paying $50 for it.
Absolutely.
If it's needed, it's needed.
I hope a lot of people would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't know about society.
It's the whole, like, you work harder, you get better, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, and some people, like, some of the richer people are working harder, and so they deserve a better health insurance, and they deserve a better yada yada, but, like, what justifies you working harder?
How much money you make? The degree you hold from a specific
university? Yeah, but I've met plenty of people that are making 60, 70K a year, and they're working harder than any doctors I know.
Yeah, I would 100% agree with that. I mean, you could even make the argument most teachers work harder than doctors nowadays.
Yeah, they're shaping the future lives of other people.
Yet teachers get paid probably 50, maximum.
60.
Yeah, 60 grand a year. 70, 80 maybe if you have your master's.
Not worth it. The system's rigged. It's rigged for people. It's rigged for the wealthy.
The system is corrupt.
The wealthy gets wealthier and the rich or the poorer get poorer.
That is what we have stumbled upon. Is that honestly, the system is corrupt.
Just look at the medication.
Follow the money, as Warren Buffett would say. Follow the money.
I've yet to see a rich person come through the pharmacy and pay a shit ton of money for a prescription rather than a poor person coming into the pharmacy getting a prescription that they would pay nothing for.
Bam.
Boom.
Boom. Back to Bumble.
Back to Bumble.
Boom. Back to Bumble.
How much these rich people are paying for their prescriptions? Like, I mean, like, their prescription, like, in general, like, monthly. You know, like, through their insurance.
Yeah.
It can't be that much more.
I mean, what's
like,
it to
our
them,
dads
too?
Are paying a hell of a ton for our prescriptions. Like,
yeah,
insurances.
But it saves money, too, at the same
time. It saves money at the same time, but, like, how much less are those poor people paying, you know? I don't think it's that much. I only think it's a couple hundred. It's not, like, thousands of dollars worth in the long run it gets for getting those prescriptions.
No, but, okay. But that goes back to finance principle, you know, net present value, whatever. If you save even $400 by doing that, and you invest that correctly, that $400, 20 years from now, could be worth, you know, thousands of dollars.
Oh, absolutely.
And then you invest that further, so it's just compounding, where, like, it definitely adds up. That's why the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Consistently.
America, bitch.
Boom! Back to Bumble. Healthcare system is fraud. Actions need to be taken. Political parties need to be combined, you could say.
Well, I don't know exactly what Obamacare was, but, like, why can't we have one healthcare system that most people are on? And they all pay the same amount of co-pays and the same amount of this shit. Because eventually prescription companies are going to realize, like, I can't sell this Adderall anymore for $80 to this one person, but I have to start selling it for $40 for everybody. They're gonna start making it cheaper, you know?
Yeah. It's a great question. I don't know. I mean, that's something we need to figure out.
Instead of the rich paying $1,600 a month for the prescriptions for their insurance plan, and the poor paying $1,000, why don't we just make everyone pay $1,200?
Or shit, everybody grab an Advil bottle rather than paying $140 for a bottle you can buy for $7.
That's true. I mean, like, prescriptions.
Why do we even need insurance companies? What do they actually do for us?
Honestly, I don't know. What are insurance companies really useful? Like, if you never use insurance in your lifetime, then what are you paying for, you know?
I mean, you could even... So, I got in that fender bender a couple weeks ago, right? I've talked to my insurance company twice. I've tried calling them probably close to 20 times. They've called me back, like, 4. They left some voicemails. So, they're really bad at, like, picking up the phone and talking to you.
Uh-huh.
So, I have no idea what's going on right
exactly,
now.
Exactly, but you're still paying for the services.
But I'm still paying for the services.
You're still paying for the services. You don't even know what the fuck's going on. You can get fucked in the end and still have to pay more.
And I would have no idea what just happened. Maybe there's an action that can be taken right now that would save me hundreds of dollars. It doesn't work. I got a system connect. You don't get that chance. That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. And I think that's the problem with America right now. I mean, we could always talk about, you know, racial segregation, political party separation. You know, we need to combine all these things. But, like, that is the problem, I feel like. That is the central problem.
What is?
Just money.
Oh, yeah.
And the corruptness of money.
Money corrupts all.
That was a good combo.
I agree.
I go it all on video too. Not video, but a voice memo. Wow. I feel like we have covered a lot in this podcast. Maybe it wasn't the most clear and concise thing ever. But again, my buddy Abe and I, you know, you could tell we're very passionate about this. As we sit in our porch and be bombs. Boom, boom. It's just the lifestyle we live. Yeah, again, if you guys have any questions, please feel free to reach out, or different opinions, observations, facts you'd like to share. You know, we're very open-minded. This is again just through our experiences and our observations of Big Pharma and the flaws found within the system. So if you have different opinions, want to get coffee and discuss it, or pissed off at us and want to slap us in the face, don't do that, but we can talk. Again, yeah, we appreciate you all for listening. Thank you for tuning in, and join us again next week for a discussion on, what should we talk about? We'll figure that out later. Join us next week for our undisclosed conversation about aliens and the existence of existential life. All right, guys. Love you. Thanks for tuning in. Bye. During my sophomore year at my old school, I decided to join the rugby team. Admittedly, at the time, it was mainly because they knew how to throw some great parties. However, what I didn't know at that time was this decision would change my life forever. It was a week before Thanksgiving break, and we just beat our arch rivals in a hard-fought game. The boys and I were gearing up for another wild night of celebration when I noticed that one of our star players, who had just had his best game ever, wasn't there. So I tried calling him a couple times to see where he was, but he wouldn't answer. So I decided to walk over to his place and grab him so we could head to the party. I knocked on his door a couple times, and there was no answer. So I opened the door, which wasn't locked, and found him laying on the ground in his kitchen, crying hysterically. Without hesitating, I shut the door behind me and sat down next to him. I was caught completely off guard because he presented himself to be a macho rugby player, and as young college guys, specifically rugby players, we definitely did not talk about feelings. I didn't know what to do or say, so I ended up just sitting there next to him for about 2 hours. In the moment, it was a bummer because I was missing a kick-ass party, but I was compelled to stay because I was taught to embrace vulnerability and overcoming toxic masculinity. I was raised in a household with two strong, very opinionated women, my mother and older sister, who taught me a lot of tough lessons about being comfortable with my emotions. Those instilled lessons taught me that being different and vulnerable is beautiful. So on a night when everyone is celebrating and having a good time, I was comfortable sitting with him while he cried. I believe that vulnerability is beautiful and that everyone deserves to feel heard and valued.